Oh, yeah, no problem.
How's everyone doing?
Good.
A lot of familiar faces out there. Good to see everyone. Yes, my name is John Gonzalez, and good news, bad news. Good news is I am the Director of Communications over at the Saginaw Diocese. Bad news is that I'm only a member of this parish for a little longer. They really want me to find a parish over in Saginaw and start working my way in there, so I'm not sure how long I'll continue to be a parishioner here at St. Jude, but this will always be home for me, so you expect me. So we still have our house in Grand Rapids, so or in Comstock Park, I should say. So I expect to be at Mass many Sunday mornings at either 8:30 or 10:30. 8:30 usually is where I try to go to, but it's funny because for a lot of years, people didn't know I was a parishioner here. They would see me helping my brother Pete at the breakfast or something, and they'd say, "Oh, are you a member here?" Yep. And then I would be at church, and after church, someone would come up to me and say, "Oh, John Gonzalez is here. Wow, are you a member?" I'm like, "Yeah." But there's a reason I kept a low key for a lot of years, and that's because when I was over at Holy Trinity, just down the road, I was involved with everything. Dinners, volunteered for everything, and I finally started realizing it's only the same 10 people, 10 families that do everything. Everyone just comes and goes. Like, why am I killing myself? I'm just doing all the work, me and a few other people. I just want to go to a parish where I can just check in, check out, show up when I want to. Maybe I'll have baseball tournaments going on, so I'll be gone on Sunday. You know, I just want to be a lukewarm Catholic again. You know? And that's how I lived my faith for a lot of years here at St. Jude. So that's why people didn't really know me. But then I realized God's calling me to do something different. I have a long faith story of kind of getting back into my faith, but I don't want to go down that path because there's just a lot, right? We'd be here for a couple hours. But I wanted to get into the Rescue Project. So when I was looking for a job after 2 years at West Catholic, I was like, oh my gosh, now I know what I'm supposed to do with my life. I'm supposed to work in Catholic media, right? Those 2 years were transformational, being at school every day, being around young people, talking to our chaplain, doing podcasts, doing videos. I'm like, this is where I'm supposed to be. God is calling me to work for the church. And I couldn't find anything in Grand Rapids. There was nothing really here. You know, I started doing some interview, or at least checking outside of the country, or outside of the state. I had an interview out in Minnesota, and they offered me the job. I turned it down. I had an interview in North Carolina. They offered me the job. I turned it down. And I said, you know what? I don't know why, you know, something's saying I need to stay in Michigan. I don't want to leave my family. And I ended up in Saginaw. And when we did the interview, I remember I was in Grand Haven at Oddside Brewery outside. You know, I was at the brewery, of course. That's what I do. I drink and eat for a living. I used to for many years. So I'm at the brewery doing my interview outside, and they said, "Are you familiar with Acts 29? Never heard of it. Are you familiar with Father John Ricardo? Never heard of him. They said, "Well, we are transforming our diocese. So just like how Bishop Wachowiak here in Grand Rapids is transforming the diocese here through evangelization and so many different things, our bishop, Bishop Grusin of Saginaw, is doing the same thing." And he says, "John, come to Saginaw and let us tell you more about what we're doing." So I got off the phone call, and I immediately started doing the research as a journalist, right? I started looking at what is Acts 29, who is Father John Ricardo? The more I dove in, I'm like, oh my God, it was like talking to me. His videos, I watched the Rescue Project, because all the videos are available free online right now. And I would encourage you, for those of you that sign up and become leaders, I would get together as a group of leaders and just watch them, or just get together with a friend and watch them, because it's going to give you better knowledge of what's happening, right? So they're available right now. So I started watching all the videos, and I literally was in tears after each video, in tears, because it just hit my soul. And I'm like, oh my gosh, this is talking directly to me. No longer can I just sit here and do nothing. No longer can I be a lukewarm Catholic. No longer can I just come every Sunday and leave. I need to do more. And that's what the Rescue Project did for me. So when I got to Saginaw, I did the interview. When we started talking about Rescue Project, I'm like, oh yeah, I got it. I know what you're talking about now. This is great. And then they said, oh, we're also going to be doing a Rescue Michigan. We're going to have Father John Ricardo and the Acts 29 team come to Saginaw to do an all-day revival. And I'm like, oh, I'm in. I am so in. This is going to be so much fun. And I got to interview Father John Ricardo a couple times. We got to help plan this whole day. I invited Marty. He couldn't make it that day. I invited my brother Pete. He made it, though. Good job, Pete. I bought a whole table because my thought originally was to bring my whole family. It was to invite parishioners. But it's hard to explain to people how it can transform your life unless you are there. You know, if I call someone, hey, you want to come to Saginaw for a day? And, are you kidding me? I'd rather go to the beach or something. I'm not going to Saginaw, right? It's hard to explain it. The whole premise of the Rescue Project is that you, at the end of these 8 weeks, can proclaim the gospel in less than 5 minutes. Can you imagine that? How many of us are just afraid to go out there and preach? We're not pastoral. We don't have the knowledge, right? We're not. What can we say to someone to say, come back to church? I don't have those skills. After you do this, I guarantee you, you will feel confident that the girl at Meijer that's checking you out, I mean, not checking you out, you know what I mean, like checking you out your food, the person at Meijer that's checking her out, that you can sit there and say, how was your day today? How are you feeling? What's going on? I see you're a little down. Yeah, my shift just started and my car broke down. Do you want me to pray with you? Do you want a prayer right now? Here at Meijer? Yeah, right here. I can pray with you if you want me to. How many times have you come into a homeless person and you don't want to give them money, you're not trying to decide what to do? Give them a buck or whatever and then pray with them. Who's ever done that before? Yeah, you sit there and you find out their name, 5 minutes with them to hear your story, and you pray with them. You want to talk about the gospel? I really don't know this Jesus character. Let me tell you. You got 5 minutes? I will tell you in 5 minutes who Jesus is. I'm going to pass these out. I have them over at my table right now, but before I pass them out, we have developed in Saginaw a diocese on mission. So this is like what your bishop just put out in Grand Rapids, right? My job was to take, you saw the multiple page document? Who's read through the whole PDF of, like, I don't know how many pages it is. How many, Marty? 105, yeah. So my job when I got to Saginaw, I said, why don't we just do this? Give people one page. Easy to read, easy to digest, easy to understand. It explains what our diocese on mission is all here, right? Since everything's based on the Rescue Project and Father John Ricardo, it was simple to do. So one of the things you'll hear when you go through the videos, they have three fundamental convictions at Rescue Project, and they're part of our diocese on mission. The world is crying. The church is crying. You are not alive by chance. You were born for this. That's what St. Joan of Arc saying, right? That's part of your strategic plan. I don't have it in front of me, but I was looked at your strategic plan today, yours, ours, right? That's in there. Not in those same words, but it's in there. Okay, why do we exist? What is our mission in Saginaw? The Catholic Diocese of Saginaw exists to courageously proclaim the living gospel so that Christ Jesus may lead people to salvation through his healing, love, and mercy. That's it. That's what you wake up for every single day. Once you go through the Rescue Project, you no longer see a few things differently. You talk to the person in line at Meijer, the homeless person every once in a while. It's not an every once in a while thing. It's every single day. You now see your life entirely different lenses. Because once you're transformed by the gospel, you can no longer live the life you used to live. I guarantee it. How do we behave? We're ambitious for God and his kingdom. We want to be authentically human. We want to be docile to the Holy Spirit and know that God is the architect. What does it mean to be docile to the Holy Spirit? Father, don't answer this question. What does it mean to be docile to the Holy Spirit? It means to stop everything you're doing and saying, Holy Spirit, why are you sending me this way when I know I should be going that way? What are you telling me at this moment? It's like even yesterday, I went to leave Saginaw and I'm like, should I leave after work? Should I leave after dinner? Should I just get up early in the morning and leave tomorrow? I don't know. What do you think? Should I leave now? Is there a reason for me to leave now? Or should I leave in the morning? Leave now. Okay, I'll leave now. And that's how you think. You think differently. Big decisions, small decisions. They're no longer your decisions. I cannot tell you. We have a meeting every Thursday as part of Bishop's leadership team. We meet from 1:30 to 4:30 every Thursday. Okay? I'm part of the leadership team there at the diocese. In that agenda, prayer. We spend 20 to 30 minutes every meeting in chapel praying. Not to decide whether we're going to do this or that, to decide what to do. I would encourage this group of leaders to pray before you start discussing who's doing this and doing what, to go into the church and sit there for 20 minutes and pray. God, what are the charisms I have? What skills, what talents do I have? We know about Pete. He's a great cook, right? So he's like, oh, this is simple. I only need 5 minutes, right? But some of us don't know our own skills, our own charisms. Living your strength, I did it. So I have an idea of what God has given me, right? So I think most of you already know that same thing. But you sit there in true prayer. And then how can I support each other? I'm not a chef, but Pete calls me to volunteer. Whatever you need, Pete, tell me what to do. I'll do it, right? Pete says to me, hey, I'm not sure about this photo or that photo. Oh, I can tell you about photos. Let's go. Let's do it, right? What do we do? We prayerfully discern God's plan in order to lead and unite the diocese around Jesus. How we will succeed. We have three pillars. Okay, these are our everything we do at the diocese revolves around these three pillars. Everything you will do on the rescue project revolves around proclaiming the gospel. It's the same thing. Same way to correlate everything right here. We want to love and support our presbyterate, our priests. We got to take care of them. If we don't take care of them, what's going to happen? If they don't feel loved, supported, they're going to be down and out. That's number one. Number two, we're going to build disciples to be sent on mission. Equipping them. That's what the rescue project does. We're equipping you to go out there and proclaim the gospel. And then number three, go after and retrieve the lost sheep. Let me tell you one thing about evangelization that I've learned so far in my very short life, right? You do not convert people. Tom, sorry to tell you this, you do not have the power to convert someone to Catholicism or bringing them back to the church. Marty, I'm sorry to tell you do not have the power. Father, as much as I love you, he does not have the power. What are you talking about? Only God has the power to bring someone back into the Catholic Church if they've fallen away, or bring them to the Catholic Church. You plant seeds. That's what a job of evangelization is to do, is to plant seeds, get people thinking. You be there for their walk. Once you realize, like, oh, I don't have to be perfect. I don't have to say the right things. I just have to be there, listen to them, and love them, regardless of their age, sex, race. It doesn't matter, because that's one thing we learned in the rescue project, is that everyone was created by God. Every single person in this room. There's not one person in this room that's more important than the other. Sorry to tell you. How often do we get caught up in politics, whether it's in church, school, work? Oh, you can't tell me what to do. Okay, pray for him. Maybe he's out of line. Pray for the person that's abusing you or yelling at you or demeaning you. Don't give them that power. That's the enemy. Father John Ricardo is famous for saying, the enemy is the enemy. Okay? The enemy is the enemy. It's not the person that's chewing you out for something. It's not the person that's scolding you for being late for work. It is the enemy that wants to be divisive. He wants to get in there and just like, ooh, tear you apart. And once you let him do that, the enemy wins. So the pillars are great. If you get a chance to read this book, it's called From Christendom to Apostolic Mission. Short read. It's also available online. It's called From Christendom to Apostolic Mission. We are no longer live in Christendom times. We live in apostolic times. What does that mean? Basically, it means to say, we're back to Acts of the Apostles. The Catholic religion is no longer the movers and shakers anymore. We've become a secular world. Simple as that. And that's part of the teaching for Father John Ricardo in Acts 29. We have to act like we are definitely starting back from day one and going out on mission.
I'm not done.
You're not done?
A couple more things.
I'm going to steal my computer, though.
The last thing I'll bring up before we show this video, And probably the most powerful thing that Father John Ricardo does is to teach you the kerygma. And be honest, how many of you have heard the word kerygma before? Raise your hand. Okay. If you haven't heard the word, that's okay. But the kerygma is the proclamation, the living proclamation of the gospel. Father John Ricardo does it this way. He says, why is there something rather than nothing? This will be one of the first videos you watch. Why are we here? Why does this Earth exist? Why does this planet exist? Why is there something rather than nothing? The story of creation. Now, if God made everything so good, why is everything so obviously messed up? Right? Look at the war, the floods, everything going on, right? Why is everything so messed up? Politics. And don't get me going on politics. As Catholics, we're not Republican. We're not Democrat. We're not middle of the road. We are following Jesus Christ. That's the only party we should be following. Sorry, Father, if I don't mean to get political. All right? Because if we start following this path or that path, we're guilty of the same thing. And Catholics, we fall right into the trap. So we have to say, why is everything so messed up? Well, then we have to say, what, if anything, has God done about it? It's on there, under the paper here that I just handed out, or that was handed out to you, the Kerygma Biblical Worldview. What, if anything, has God done about it? I think you know the answer to that one. He sent his son, right? And then lastly, if we know that he's done something, how should we respond? So we know we've been created. We know we were captured by the enemy. We know we've been rescued from the enemy. Now what are we going to do about it? Sit at home and collect our pension? Go on some fancy vacation to Hawaii? Is that what we're called to do? I don't think so. At least everything that tells me that what we live by this world, the secular world that we live in, right? We put values on the wrong things. Part of your job as leaders is to soak this in and really live it. Don't just like, okay, I'm going to sit there and try to help. No, really immerse yourself into this.